Welcome to Career Tools, our guidance on working with interns. Here we go. Folks, this guidance answers the questions, how do I work with interns in my team? What do I need to remember when I'm working with interns? And how do I build a relationship with an intern? If you're struggling with a relationship with your team or your boss or your peers, or maybe you're not struggling, but you just want to get better in terms of relationships and you understand DISC, we highly recommend you consider our Effective Relationships series of podcasts. You can buy a series telling you that if you're a D, how to relate to your directs, each of whom D, I, S, and C, or if you're a D, relating to your boss, who might be a D, I, S, and C. It will tell you in every podcast, some of them as much as 2 hours long, how to handle meetings, how to handle delegations, how to handle feedback and coaching, how to brief your boss, how to disagree with your boss, how to communicate in general with your boss, what your boss wants from you, and what you might want from your directs as well. Many of the show notes are 20 and 25 pages long to give you many, many examples and many, many details of behaviors you can engage in to, again, as we like to say, reduce the drama, reduce the tension, reduce the conflict, and increase the harmony and collaboration, which leads to better outcomes because it's all about results and people are what's important. Obviously, Wendy, we've talked a lot about relationships between bosses and directs and with peers and with our directs, of course. But there are some relationships that are different enough that we need to call them out and talk about the subtleties of them. And one of those is relationships with interns.
Indeed. Some people will have things that they've thought and have become their thinking process that probably if they actually thought about what they were thinking, they would think, oh, you know what? I heard that 20 years ago and it's probably not true now. And so some people have had strange things about interns said to them early in their career by other people. And so it's good to rethink that.
Yeah. And it's safe to say that the average use of interns in the average organization in the world is poor. There's a process, HR touts it, it helps for recruiting and so on, for fresh college graduates, and interns go into organizations. I mean, I hear it all the time. And from people on both sides of the aisle, interns saying I was barely used, and managers going, yeah, I just had them doing this or that or the other thing. And it sends a message that you'll always be underutilized at the company, which is just dumb, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what's our guidance?
Number one, no surprise, build a relationship. Then give more explanation, keep expectations high, and be forgiving.
Okay, good. So no surprise that Career Tools talks about relationships. It's our two or three or four top underlying positions in organizational life and one's career is to build relationships with people around you. You, as the old saying goes, smile at people on your way up because you'll see them on your way back down because that's inevitable. So how do we build a relationship? What do we do with interns?
Well, of course, we want to begin by talking to them as soon as they arrive. There's nothing weirder in any job as being ignored for the first 2 weeks and then somebody suddenly talking to you. Like, really? So you want to sit down with them in the first week. If you're their manager, hopefully that's obvious. If you're their peer, it's less obvious that you might want to sit down with them and just have a chat. But still, it's a really good thing to do because you start that relationship. And the better the relationship, the better the results.
I'll tell you that this is as simple as, guys, you see somebody, you know there's an intern coming. Maybe you vaguely remember an email or something, but you don't know when they start, maybe. And then you see the intern or you see someone who looks like they could be an intern. And rather than going to your buddy who sits next to you and say, who's that? And they say, I think it's the intern, but I'm not sure. I tell you what you do. You see somebody in your work area whom you're not sure who they are. Get up from your desk. And what I'm about to say is introduce yourself. And other people will be like, well, that's not me. Folks, that ought to be you. Introducing yourself to people you don't know in your workplace is part of a professional obligation. It has nothing to do with your personality, your behavioral tendencies, your DISC profile, or anything else. You see somebody walking around, you stand up, they're in your area, you stand up and you stick out your hand and you say, hi, I'm Mark. How are you? We haven't met. And they say, hi, I'm Josh. I'm the new intern. Oh, great. Welcome aboard. If you need anything, let me know. I sit right over here. Are you the intern for Rebecca, the manager? Oh, yeah. Okay, well, Rebecca's my manager, so welcome aboard. I got to tell you, you do that for an intern, because if you don't and you ask your buddy, I promise you the intern hears you. You think they don't, but they do. That is a completely different start to their first week on the job than hearing somebody saying, who is that?
And if your mate is sitting next to you, then introduce them to your mate too.
Yeah. And they don't have a clue. Interns are a classic case zero of something I've been talking about off and on for years, which is once we learn something, one of the bad things about humans, and certainly it's been true for me all my life, we forget when we learned that thing. We're aware of our lack of knowledge in certain areas when we learn something, unless it's a significant emotional event, which we'll never forget. But the vast majority of our learnings about organizational life happen to us in bits and pieces, in small little ways, where we don't know what that acronym somebody used was, and then 5 minutes later in the conversation, we realize they're talking about X, and we go, ha, I know what that acronym is. And from that point on, you think, well, I've kind of always known about that acronym. And then when someone else with less experience than you indicates that they don't know that acronym, you act as if, oh, well, they're kind of idiotic. How could they not know that? I know that. I've kind of known it all along. Again, because it was incremental learning, it wasn't a significant emotional event. I mean, to judge somebody, when in fact, if you really thought about it, you realize I didn't know that either, is crazy. And interns won't know anything. They don't know anything. They don't know whether you have to pass to go to the cafeteria. They don't know if the cafeteria takes money or tokens or an employee card. Will their intern card work? If they're nervous walking to the cafeteria the first day, they may only have a dollar in their pocket because they underestimated their rent, or who knows? And gosh, to compound it by the company saying, we want you to come work here. We want you to learn about our company, and we think you'd be helpful to us. And then to hear people talking, who's that? Rather than, hi, welcome aboard. Isn't that what you would have wanted your first day? Or did you want no one to talk to you so you could sit in the corner and not be useful? Because you're not going to be highly useful if you're not interacting with other people. Even if you're on a research internship, you're still going to have to interact with other people. I'm sorry, that was long, Wendy, wasn't it?
No, but it was good. I hadn't remembered going to the canteen for the first time, but when you said it was immediately like, oh God, I remember that moment.
And they don't know where anything is. Nobody takes them on a tour. Nobody says, here's the bathroom. Nobody says, here's how you get to the cafeteria. Here's where the vending machines are. Here's what the code is for the copier. Here's how to override the code. Here's where supplies are. If you need anything, if you can't find supplies, come to my desk. Nobody does that. Everybody thinks, oh, the intern works for the boss. And, well, I don't know what the boss told them, so.
So I won't tell them anything. Instead of saying, hey, I'm sure Rebecca told you, but just to remind you, this is where, as you walk past the supply cupboard, that's where the supplies are.
Yeah. Another thing, if you're a peer, why not do peer one-on-ones with them? I know what you're thinking. Well, they're not my peer. Yeah, they are. They're a peer. There are a number of different ways to describe organizational relationships. You can describe your distance from the top. You can describe yourself in terms of the distance from the bottom of the company. And if I am a VP and I report to a senior VP, and you are a manager and you also report to the senior VP, and if you're young folks, don't think that's wrong or bad or not done. It's done all the time. You could certainly say VP versus manager, not a peer, but reporting to the same manager, having the same manager as our boss makes us, in one description of the word, a peer. So that intern that reports to your boss, he or she is a peer of yours. I know they're not your equal, but we're using the word peer to describe you in relativity to the org chart. So they are your peer in that way. And why wouldn't you say, wouldn't I have wanted a half an hour to be able to ask all the dumb questions when I was an intern? And if you never were an intern, trust me, every intern says, God, I wish they'd have used me more. I felt like I could have done so much more, and I didn't meet as many people as I wanted, and so on. So, I mean, God, why wouldn't you offer a peer one-on-one to him? And by the way, that gives you the first opportunity to say to him, dude, our meeting was at 1. Where are you? Oh, I was really busy. Dude, don't do that. You've got to start, man. If you can't keep control of your calendar now, if you're not wearing a watch, wear a watch, look at your phone, whatever, but don't be late. Moon's top five rules in the history of life. Don't be late. Okay. And don't start now being late.
I was somewhere at the weekend and I was early. I was sitting in a room and somebody else came in and he quoted the football coach from West Point about being a quarter of an hour early.
Vince Lombardi.
Yeah.
Lombardi time.
And I was like,
If you're not 10 minutes early, you're late. Yeah, I teed off at Pebble Beach yesterday morning to play golf at 6:30 with some guests. And we were teeing off at 6:30. I said, let's meet at 6:20 on the first tee. And they were staying at the lodge there, so they only had a 50-meter walk. But they walked up at 6:26, 6:27. And the issue about being early is that you have to plan for potential problems. But even if there are no problems and you assume there are no problems, you don't not communicate. Because now the issue, if you're meeting someone else, is they don't know if you're going to be on time. In the 2 or 3 or 4 minutes, 5 minutes before the event is supposed to start. That's what Lombardi time is. Send a message, communicate with your professionalism to everyone else that you don't have to worry about me. And even if you always show up 30 seconds before, that doesn't change the fact that the person who's running the meeting, the person who's responsible for the event, is wondering, even if you have a habit of always showing up right before, that person is wondering, oh, that's the one guy. And everyone else realizes you're being rude for not being a little early as a way of communicating, I will be here on time. You don't have to worry about me. And if you're always barely on time or sometimes late, you're basically communicating, you always have to worry about me, which is probably not a good professional approach.
I took you off on a tangent. I'm sorry.
No, that's quite all right.
So peers, if you have a peer one-on-one, or even if you just have a peer, you don't need to have a one-on-one, official one-on-one in the first week, but sit down with the intern. They usually don't understand how organizations are put together because they haven't ever learned it. And so you can show them the whole organization chart and then show them where your team fits and how it works in relation to other ones, because context matters. Having context helps people understand the little piece that they're in. You can tell them about your career because that's something else they want to know. They want to know how you got to where you got to. You can tell them about your family. You can ask them questions. You can tell them that they can ask as many questions during the day as they want to and not to be afraid. If you're a manager, then you want to have this meeting, and you also need to include what one-on-ones are and when you'll be having them and why you'll be having them, so that they come to those meetings with a plan in their heads and you don't waste that time.
Yeah. Licensees, of course, can download our detailed show notes of the show that you can use as a white paper. But I stole a bunch of our thunder in this cast because I just talked to someone who's going to an internship in Boston in a couple of weeks, and I was helping this daughter of a friend prepare for the internship, and they just don't know. And not only do they not know, they don't know that they don't know. And it's too bad. And we could help them. We could do unto others as others did not do unto us when we had
an intern. Did we have a cast about that? The Delta file?
We did. The Delta file, about what you would change. And it starts with keep a file written somewhere that says all the things you would change of the things the organization or your boss or your peers do you, so that when you have more authority, you can make those changes. Like, for instance, if your boss never talks to you, don't do that to your directs. Have one-on-ones. If you never got any guidance as an intern, please, dear, come on. Treat the intern the way you would have wanted to be treated. Avoid that feeling that the intern has. And that's really the whole overdoing explanation. You have any good example of it?
I do. So we talked offline, so nobody actually heard it.
Yeah.
You and I talked about the concept of teach as, teach not. So this is a way of teaching people without actually sounding like you're teaching them, and without actually sounding that they don't know anything. So yeah.
You actually say, I'm sure you know this, and it gives them cover. They're not reminded again. In other words, you don't teach an intern by saying, you don't know this, but... Because I promise you, the intern that's insecure will say, actually, I do know that. Mm-hmm. And then you'll maybe say, oh, good, then you know X. And they'll say, no. Or you'll say, well, the good, then you can do this for me. And they don't know what they're doing because they're nervous. They're uncomfortable. They don't want to be thought dumb. But if you say to them, I'm sure you probably know this. Somebody's briefed you on it, but I'll just double check. And I got to tell you, I wish I'd have known that 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. Because part of my insecurity, even in front of audiences, I still have it. We're all insecure about various things. Is there's moments where people ask me questions and the answer I gave showed I knew the answer and they didn't. I do it a lot less now, but honoring the question by saying, well, that's a good question. When you're asked a question, of course, is and saying, oh yeah, you know, you're right. I didn't cover that. Or yeah, I could see where that would be a reasonable question. Let me explain to you how that works. You probably know this, or I haven't said it the right way. Let me say it differently. And that'll probably make it clear to you. It changes your relationship. Now they want to learn from you rather than feeling like you want them to know that you know stuff and they don't.
Okay, so we have an example. Our intern is named Sammy.
Okay.
And we're going to have our staff meeting tomorrow. So this is what I would say to Sammy. Hey, Sammy, we're going to have our staff meeting tomorrow. I'm sure you know what happens, but I'd like to walk you through it in case it's different from what you've experienced before. I'm sure you've noticed Nigel is a stickler for time and he'll start the meeting whether you're there or not. And it's better to be there, really. and I try and always be there 5 minutes early just so that, you know, if when he starts on time, I'm ready. I've got my pad out. I've got some paper, you know, and I'm kind of settled.
So I noticed you're still not wearing a watch. You can get one for $20. Here's $20. Go buy a watch. I know you like to use your phone, but your phone's in your pocket and you get busy. Set an alarm on your phone if you need to, right? And people would say, do I really need to teach them that? Yeah. Because if you don't teach them that, they won't know.
My favorite intern moment was when I gave an intern a pad and some paper so that they didn't have to go to the stationery cupboard. And then I started to give them instructions. And the first thing he said was, do I have to write this down? Because he's been in school and teachers tell you whether or not to write it down. And so he didn't know.
Yeah.
And that just goes to prove how simple the questions might be.
And they're going to say, sure, I know that. Because they want to be thought smart. Or even if they're not smart, they don't want to be thought dumb. And they want to please you. They want to look good. So don't ask them, did you get that? Because that's an easy answer. Yep, I did. Because saying no is saying I'm dumb. I'm a slow listener. You didn't do it well. So you'll say, okay, look, I want to brief you on this. And then I want you to read it back to me. So I'm sure you've got it. Because there were a lot of times people told me stuff and they assumed I knew other related stuff and I didn't, and I didn't understand, but it didn't feel like I'd ask questions. So it's totally cool. And the way we'll verify that is, I know you've got it, but why don't you walk me through it now as if you're teaching me so I can be sure you've got it. And if you get it wrong, that's fine. We'll do it again and I'll make sure you understand the pieces you need to know so you know everything.
Yeah.
Which reminds you and I both of one of our favorite teaching techniques that comes from medical school in the United States, which is see one, do one, teach one. And the reason that's important is seeing is not doing, and doing is really what matters. But if you're going to have someone, if you really want to up your skills, the standard of having to teach what you just did really helps you understand it. And of course, allows the skill to continue to be perpetuated to others as well.
I find that I don't know anything until I try to teach it. Then all of a sudden,
oh, absolutely.
Oh my gosh, there's like 20,000 things I missed out.
Good. All right. Next on our list is keeping expectations high.
Yeah. So we talked before about interns complain that they aren't utilized fully. And one of the things I've seen is people giving interns pretend work, work that doesn't really impact the project or doesn't really connect with customers and whatever, because they're afraid that the intern's going to do it wrong, which is, you know, there's risk every time you give someone work. It's not particularly more risky to give interns the work as long as you've taught them how to do it. And so if you treat them as if that they could be a permanent member of staff, because that's what happens to a lot of interns, and that's probably what they want to happen, that they do the internship, and then when they've graduated, they contact you and say, hey, I did the internship with you. Do you know of any vacancies? And if they were awesome, of course, you say yes. And if you haven't treated them like a permanent member of staff, you don't have enough information to know whether or not you should say yes.
Exactly.
You give them real work to do, and then when they don't meet the standard, if they get it wrong or, you know, there's a number to hit during the day and they don't hit that number, or there's more bugs in their code than there should be, whatever, then give them lots of feedback.
You know what? I think a lot of times people get confused about the relationship between high standards and relationships. And they think, oh, if I have high standards, everybody I've worked with that had high standards was hard on me. I tell people all the time, it's okay to be a tough boss as long as you're also a kind boss. You can be both things. You can set high standards and be respectful of people when they don't meet it, because if you set really high standards, nobody's going to meet them all the time. But I think what happens is we tell them, hey, give them real work to do. But then when they don't do it well, we kind of punish them for it. And it's a catch-22, because for an intern, they just don't know how. So give them high standards. Expect them to do the work to the quality. And then build enough of a relationship with them, which is what we started this guidance with, that they can hear it. Okay, hey, look, I set a high standard. This is the standard we have, and you didn't meet it, and that's fine. Here's what I would have done differently. Here are things you can do differently. Here are ways you can do it better. This you did was just dead wrong. And it occurs to me, I probably should have told you, you can't do that. But folks who are good, and you want to know more people who are good, who are effective, who are professional, who are ethical, they don't want it to be dumbed down. And if you give somebody who's really good dumbed down work and they do it, but they don't feel like it was very hard, they're going to go back and say, this internship is kind of a joke.
And then they're going to tell you they're friends and you're not going to get interns anymore.
The other thing that happens, though, is people give them easy work and they think, I don't want them to struggle. Okay. You give them easy work. They then act as, you know, they're probably frustrated. They're going to tell their friends, as Wendy says. And at the same time, they're going to feel like this is acceptable performance, right? And if they don't learn how to do it, or if they think that a low standard is okay, you're setting them up for failure. Mm-hmm. And gosh, people, you know, do you really want to be talked down to? No. No one does. So then don't do that to somebody else, and don't give them the false sense of achieving a goal that they know is beneath their own standards. And that kind of leads us into being forgiving.
It does. Yeah. Oh, I wanted to say, not feedback in the manager tools feedback model F, but feedback in information about how they did against the standard.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's no reason you can't do that, even if you're not far enough along to do the actual feedback model.
Yeah, I had an intern a number of years ago, and I used to say all the time, love you, man. You were late. You know, love you.
Because it matters.
You were late. Both things are true. Still love you. Still late. And after like the third time, I said, okay, lateness is no longer acceptable. And he's late a couple more times. I said, that's not acceptable, and you need to think about not coming to work tomorrow and spending the day thinking about being on time. And there's nothing charming about being unorganized. There's nothing youthful about being late. There are young people I know who are on time all the time, and there are old people I know who are late. Mm-hmm. And it's annoying to everyone. Yes, if you're a billionaire and you have people waiting on you, you can do what you want. Your plane will wait for you. As they say at the Naval Academy, time, tide, and formation wait for no man. And please don't anyone write me and say, Mark, I thought you went to West Point. I did. I went to the one military academy. I didn't go to Navy, but I love that phrase, time, tide, and formation, meaning meetings, wait for no one. So, forgiving.
So, interns who haven't worked in organizations before really don't understand the workplace norms because nobody has ever taught them. They know that if they've got a class, if they're high school students, then they probably think if there's a class, they have to go to it, which is true. If you're college students, there seems to be this thing that if there's a class, you don't have to go, you just go if you want to, which I find baffling. And also, it's not useful in the workplace. You don't get the choice as to whether or not you come back from lunch. You come back from lunch. And they don't know that they can't party all night and then sleep, as I know. An intern who worked for my team did, went to sleep in the middle of a meeting, and that wasn't acceptable. The other thing they don't know is how to express things. So they don't know about not throwing people under the bus. They don't know that we recommend you say and not but.
Right.
They don't know that I'm sorry, I dropped the ball, I'll fix it, is sometimes the right answer. And so if they say something, or if they drop the ball, if they drop somebody under a bus or whatever, then you can give them feedback. You can tell them, hey, this is why you don't do that then. This is why you don't throw people under the bus. And this is what you say next time. So that they learn.
Yeah. And how do you learn, right? Good judgment. Yeah. Good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment. So you do stuff and you get it wrong. They're going to get a lot of stuff wrong. And it's hard for many people to say, ooh, they're going to get a lot of stuff wrong, but I'm supposed to give them meaningful work. Yeah, that's right. But it's work you won't have to do. They'll get it done 70% of the way there. You won't have spent any time on it rather than you doing it. You can do other work that's also valuable. In many cases, the internship is free, although that's a political issue now, stupidly. But they're free. Why would you want them doing a lot of stuff to get to the stuff on the back of your desk that you believe is really important? And if you're not careful, the first time people learn things, when they're nervous about their performance, those lessons are really meaningful. So if you are negative, they'll learn to be negative. They'll learn it's okay. And they'll learn it's okay to be negative from a quasi-peer. You're not my boss, right? And I'll tell you, if an intern said to me, well, you're not my boss. Why are you? So, okay, look, are you going to have friends at work? Do you want your friends to, maybe we're not friends. I've got a family. You don't. You're just starting your career. But this is what I would have wanted. I wanted people telling me stuff. If you don't want me to give you guidance or suggestions or so on, that's okay. I don't think you want to tell the boss that some of the staff were helping you and giving you guidance on stuff and you didn't like it, because he won't like that or she won't like that either. But I'm telling you this stuff because it'll help you be better. And you wouldn't want to send a message that you're not open to feedback, because people who aren't open to feedback won't last for very long. On the other hand, don't tell them what they do poorly without telling them what they did well. And when you tell them they did something poorly, say, hey, I could see where this was not clear, and next time try it this way. Or if you say, that was dumb, and you don't laugh about it after having built somewhat of a relationship in a short period of time, that's going to teach the intern not to do anything to avoid being dumb.
When people do things wrong, I find that 98% of the time, it's because I explained it badly. So someone doing something dumb is not on them. It's on you as the explainer.
Yeah. And when was the last time you made a mistake that you intended to make the mistake on purpose in order to screw things up? The answer is never. So you have good intentions. Surely you're not the only human being who has good intentions. You're not. Everybody has good intentions, and they do stuff wrong. They mean well and it turns out poorly, or they mean well and they don't know what they're doing, and so there's no way they can get it done right. And what would you want? If your intention were good and things turned out bad, you want forgiveness. We actually teach that when we teach our feedback model. Forgive. It will make it much easier to talk about the mistake. If you're not forgiving, if you're holding it against them, if you find the person objectionable, now suddenly they feel judged. And that affects your relationship. And that's going to be a negative for them and probably for their boss as well.
Yeah. And this part isn't in the, it's in the show notes, but it's not part of the actionable pieces. But I'm going to get on a soapbox because you had one, so I'm going to have
one
too.
Good.
Which is the way interns act right now, the one that you have in your team now or the one you have in your team in next year or the year after, is nothing to do with the generation that they come from. They'll be late, and that's not because they're millennials and they don't care about time. And they'll be on their phones, and it's not really because they're Generation Z. At the thing I was at the weekend, there was everyone from like 90 to 17, and everybody was on their phones all the time. It's just habit. So it's not to do with when they were born. It's to do with the amount of experience they have. If you'd have been an intern in 1920, you'd have made all the same mistakes, because it's age and experience that matters here and not when you were born.
Good. Love it. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
That's it, everybody. See you next week.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're a Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.